Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in our life, our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. I will be speaking with Dr. Kanu Kogat. She's the founder and president of Bridges in Organizations, talking about ways to reinvent yourself as you're going back to your business career. And if not, then how to reinvent yourself to create a new business and a career. Then I will speak to Dr. Ali Asadi. He is a business coach and international speaker and the author of 1,000 Tips and Tools from Small Business Success. And he will teach us how any of our small businesses can thrive and succeed, especially in this time. Now, be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Dr. Fujian Zain. Join and share with your Instagram, Dr. Fujian Zain, or Twitter, Dr. Zain. I would love to hear from you. So go to my website, share with me, ask questions. I will answer your questions or, just connect with me. Now, let me share with you what I have observed and been working this week. This week, I've been working with many people who are having major conversations within their relationship, their romantic relationship or marriages. Some have gotten so much closer to each other that their love has rekindled. I keep hearing this phrase that we used to be ships passing at night, and now we actually converse, look at each other's eyes, watch movies together, eat dinner together, feel closer to each other, like the beginning of our marriage. Some relationships are suffering. Every movement, every body language expression, every word and tonality heard gets on the nerve of the other and escalates the fight. Since they have to be within the same space while they're agitated, it leads to more escalation and threats of getting separated or divorced. Lots of affairs have become revealed since the couple see each other more often and have become more in tune with their behavior and more access to each other's phone or computers, where the evidence of the extramarital relationships gets revealed, creating devastation within relationships in the family. Some couples are reporting to have better sexual experiences since they're less tired, well-rested, and feel closer to each other. And some have stopped having sex since they fight a lot. Some have lost their desire for sex since they see each other too much and their instinct to hunt has been minimized. So this has been the sixth or seventh week that couples and families have been in shelter in place, which it intensifies the family dynamics that are there. So let's check. How are you handling your intimate relationships? What stresses do you experience in your relationship? How do you contribute in elevating the stress? And how do you de-escalate the tension that comes up between you and your mate? How do you promote love and peace in your relationship? And how do you keep passion and eroticism alive in your sexual life? You play a big part in creating a great relationship. Observing your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and intentions will help you navigate your state of being and actions toward a relationship that you really desire. So be intentional within your relationship. And you can even be very intentional in the way that you relate to yourself and as you relate to everyone around, even your career and work, as you will be going back. And some of you are already working from home, or some of you will be starting to look at the options of going back to work. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with our wonderful guests.
Are you afraid Are you getting panic attacks? Are you getting bored and can't stand it anymore at your home? Are you finding yourself in a bind with a relationship at home? Are you wondering what all of the fuss is? And are you determined to guard yourself against all others? Or worried about how am I going to pay my rent or mortgage? In respect to the coronavirus stress, I'm offering a sliding scale online psychotherapy for anyone in California and life coaching to anyone in the world who's suffering financially. Please connect with me at Foujan.com, Foujan.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Foujan. Dr. Foujan is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Foujan. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, listeners. This is Christopher from The Christopher Show. Hey, if you miss one of our shows here at KMET, don't worry about it. You can go to our webpage, and that's KMET1490AM.com. Go to the homepage, click on the SoundCloud tab, and hear any show anytime you want.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Foujan Zain, and I am so excited to have my friend, a great friend, Dr. Kanu Kogat, the founder and president of Bridges in Organization. Bridges in Organization. She is an anthropologist, master certified coach, and a renowned organizational development consultant. For close to 9 years, Kanu co-designed and facilitated Leadership Alchemy, an award-winning transformational leadership development program at NASA. And she is working on an amazing book. And I'm so glad that she has the time to be with us, because I have a lot of questions about how we're going to go back to life again. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Foujan. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so happy that we finally made this happen. Yes. And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Wonderful. So we're already starting to talk about opening up businesses, going back to work. And it's really interesting that for so long, everybody's waiting. I want to go back. What's this? I got to get back to work. And now that the doors are opening, or at least the potential doors are opening, now I hear from my colleagues, my friends, my clients, that now everybody is scared of how are we going to go back? How is it going to look like? And since you do work a lot with management and people who are in companies, what are your thoughts about this new coming back?
Yeah. Well, let me first say, we're not coming back to anything that looked like it did before. Work for itself is going to change completely. There are many companies who've realized the value of working from home. They don't have to spend a lot of money on a building and bringing people to work, and the time that people spend on transportation and so on. The only thing is that many employers don't have enough trust in their employees to work from home. So it for those who have had, have a job that can be done online, and they do have trust with their supervisors who are keeping them busy, this is a really good new way of working. There's still a lot of kinks. It's not perfect. For many of us, there is no going back to work. There's no reopening because those jobs don't exist. I mean, I just heard the numbers again today was something like, the real number might be something like 25% unemployment, which is unheard of. I mean, I can't even imagine. So that with that high of a number of unemployed people, people are getting creative. So one woman I heard who had her she was working for somebody in a salon. She's just taking her clients because the salon's not reopening at any time soon. So she's opening her own business and starting something new. For other people, this is a perfect time to reinvent and do something that you've always wanted to do. It's not gonna be easy. However, the benefit of for those people who are in a job that they weren't happy with to begin with, and they can create something new at this time, this is the perfect time to reinvent. When things are the most chaotic, that's the time when the most change can happen. So for those people, it's a really good thing.
That's true. Kanyu, what about the mindset of a person that needs to have this type of a reinvention or a recreation? Because obviously they're desires that are inside, their fears, their needs that have to be met regardless of whether I have the desire for or not. And then there's this reality of out there, which it's always, it has its own entity, but right now it doesn't even have a defined entity. Like before, mm-hmm. we could say, okay, this is how the world runs. Now, how can I fit in it? Now we don't even know how the world runs for me to be able to fit in it.
Yeah. That's so well said. We don't know how the world is running now, and we don't know where we fit in it. So that's a great way of saying it. Yes, I like that. So I would say first is to really know what you want, to just pause and sit back and say, what do I really want? And really ask that question. A lot of us, and you are too, I know how we've come to know each other even more, how we've come to be better friends is through our Power of Eight group, through creating an intention. So for many people, having the support of an intention and having a group of people help you focus on your intention is a powerful way to figure out, okay, is this really what I want? And it can change, you know, it can change over time, but just really starting with that question, what do I care about? What do I want? What kind of world do I want to live in? Who am I now? So it's always a question that we ask, who am I? And then who am I now? And what ways do I want to express who I am now? So if you can like actually zero in on that, the mindset is resilience. The mindset is learner. A learner, resilient, open, creative mindset is going to get somebody right into the space of saying, oh, yeah, this is terrible. However, I can figure it out. And I know this is true because I've reinvented my own life so many times. I've been in so many different career positions. And then when one thing ended and it was all shaken up, I realized even when it wasn't my choice, when it was my choice, it was easier. For all of us now in the pandemic, we're not doing this by choice. This is a forced reinvention. This is a forced disruption for everyone. So it's adapting, being resilient, being open, being a learner, being courageous, being innovative. Those are all the qualities that we hopefully have nurtured over time, virtues that we've nurtured over time that we can apply to this situation now.
A lot of times what happens is that our emotion takes over, especially, you know, it takes over the logic. Many times when we want to create that reinvention and see the future, I've noticed people keep going into putting something negative and injecting it into the future, projecting it into the future because their emotions are all involved. You will also in your lectures and seminars, workshops, you also talk about how five emotions predispose you for positive action. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for asking about that. Yeah, these emotions are so critically important for each of us, because let me just define an emotion as opposed to a mood. And we're always in one or several emotions at one time or another. And emotions are always a predisposition to action. It means that, like, if I'm triggered or an event happens, some outer event happens, and I am reacting to that. Or if it's really peaceful, I'm reacting to that. I'm responding to my environment. My emotions are always in response to my environment. They're modulating. The whole nervous system is modulating with our environment. That's really helpful to know, that it's in a response to what's going on now, an emotion. Moods are longer term emotions that have gotten frozen. And we could say that there are four primary, six primary moods. And I think, so before I get into emotions, I'm going to tell you about the moods, because I think that's helpful too. For those people right now who are stuck in resentment over what's happened, that's a mood. And that means when you feel like the world is against you. And resentment then can spark emotions of anger, irritability, rage, all kinds of emotions can evolve from that mood. The mood of acceptance means that I'm okay with what is. I'm okay. I'm at peace. I'm in a mood of peace, and I can accept what's going on. And that's kind of the polar opposite of resentment, because I'm not resenting anything that's going on outside. Resignation is another mood, and resignation is when I feel like I have no possibilities. With resentment, I blame other people. With resignation, I think it's my fault and nothing's going to change and I'm a victim. And so I'm resigned to my fate. The opposite of resignation is ambition. And this ambition can be an emotion or a mood. And I'm bringing the moods in here because ambition is one of my favorite emotions. And ambition is not like greedy ambition to try to get ahead and be manipulative. It's ambition because I see possibilities and I know that these possibilities are there for me. So if I'm in ambition as opposed to resignation, I see possibilities. Then there's, you can think of these as like opposites, like a six-cell matrix to each other. And then you have the mood of self-righteousness. And there's a lot of people you can look at in the world who are so sure of their stories right now about what's going on that there's a lot of self-righteousness in the mood behind the story. So they'll tell a story about what's going on in the pandemic, and they'll sound so righteous that we'll want to believe them. So self-righteousness is a mood that stops us from learning. And so the opposite of that mood is the mood of a learner mindset, a learner open to learning. And so we can cultivate a mood that is of curiosity. So the emotion that goes with that mood is curiosity. So my five emotions that are like in particular to events around us stem from these moods. And that's why I think it's helpful to have a sense of what the moods look like, so you can see where these predisposition to action in the moment and emotion, an emotion is emotere. It's the Latin word for the movement of energy toward or away or stopping or allowing something to happen. So emotion does that. So the five emotions, here we go, drum roll, drum roll. Okay, we can start with curiosity. Curiosity, as I said, comes from having that learner mood and mindset. A second one is enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is something you're cultivating from within. It comes from the word entheos. Theos is God within, is the divine within. So we let that divine quality, it's not excitement. Excitement is a stimulation. Enthusiasm comes from our heart. It comes from this God-felt feeling. We're just enthusiastic. Another one is ambition. We've already talked about ambition. Ambition means responding to what kind of contribution can I make now? If I'm reinventing and I'm and I see possibilities, I can move toward those possibilities with the emotion of ambition. The next one is empathy. And empathy, I think, is one of the most important ones right now. In every spiritual tradition, we talk about compassion and empathy. And empathy is so important because it allows us to put ourselves in the place of somebody else and feel what they're feeling. So all those people who are working on the front line, the stress that they feel is they have so much empathy. And then it's very difficult sometimes to know what to do other than put a ventilator in or, you know, not having a medication. So you feel you want to help somebody who can't breathe and they have empathy. A huge amount of empathy can be stressful. So to be able to have empathy without becoming merged with the other person is compassion. So they really go together, empathy and compassion. And then the most important one that changes everything, it's like the name of the game, is gratitude. And that's the emotion of gratitude for me is sort of like the underlying thing that allows, oh my goodness, it just allows for so much. Fujian, if I didn't have gratitude, I don't know what I would do. Every night before I go to bed, I say 5 things I'm grateful for. And believe me, when I'm confined, it is not so easy to come up with 5 things. It could be, I had such good food today. Oh, the air conditioning worked. I'm in Florida, I remember. I got to walk on the beach today. Oh, I got pages of writing that done. I'm grateful for what I have and for what's been offered to me. So gratitude is, to me, the one that holds everything else together in our lives. So that was a long-winded answer.
It was a great answer. I got curiosity, ambition, empathy, compassion, and gratitude coming
together. Empathy and compassion together. So yeah. It's curiosity, enthusiasm, ambition, empathy, compassion, and gratitude.
These are the ones that can actually reinvent us to create, like be the stepping stone for us, to be the context of creating and bringing all of the other emotions that might come up, such as anxiety, you know, any type of painful emotions that show up, which are all under kind of like the anxiety of the uncertainty, or come up with the thought process that would bring our self-esteem down in a sense that I can't, I might fail, I didn't do this such and such a job, or my character doesn't allow, or I don't know and can't learn. So any of those that show up and that takes away from our invention, this type of the emotions of the curiosity, enthusiasm, ambition, empathy, compassion, gratefulness pushes us through all of those obstacles so yeah. That you can recreate and reinvent yourself in the times that are coming.
Yeah. So you could say, let me see if I can remember all these, but I'm going to try to do it as best as I can from memory. I did write about this as well. You could say the antidote to scarcity is gratitude. The antidote for anxiety is empathy, because you're focused on somebody else instead of yourself. Mm-hmm. The antidote for uncertainty would be ambition, because you're creating the possibilities out of uncertainty. So ambition would help be an antidote. So you could see how any of these could be real antidotes for specific emotions.
Yes, absolutely. Tell us about your new book.
Oh yeah, I'm so excited about the book. The book is about reinvention. And I'm focusing the idea of the book, and I think you'll really appreciate this, is that We typically, when we are thinking about reinventing ourselves, we're thinking about, okay, what's our persona going to be? What's my public identity going to be? And you, especially, Fujian, as a psychologist, you know that it's the inner world that gives rise to the outer world. If people don't take care of their inner world, the outer world is going to be just a reflection of what's going on in the inner world, right?
Yes.
It's just the filter for it. So this is helping people. It's saying, okay, if we want to really have a new public identity, a new persona, we have to identify with the energetic presence that's within us. We have to have an awareness of the essential identity that's within us. So, anybody could say, I believe that the kingdom of God is within me. I believe my heart is the source of, in any religion, it's there. It's that inside part of us that we are a piece of the divine. We are a piece of the divine, but we don't identify that way. We may have it in our head that that's a concept. Yes, I know that as a concept, but how do I live the awareness of that? How does that show up in my inner world? So this book is really about the energies. It's complicated, but it's simple. Okay. It's complicated, but it's simple. There's an energy, and energy takes many forms. So if we're thinking of energetic presence, and that's our essential identity, and we want to be aware of our essential identity, it shows up in language. It shows up in how we move our body. It shows up in our emotions. So if we can look at the energies that are flowing through language, body, and emotions, and all of us have those, if we're human, we all have language, body, and emotions. We break down those energies to push, pull, stop, and allow. And those are energies that I got this from my friend who's a Broadway actress, Tony Award-winning Broadway actress, Michelle Shea is her name. She's amazing. She's also an intuitive healer, a coach, a director. She's just had a big impact on my life. She was in one of the original Broadway shows for colored girls on Broadway and the Harlem Theater. So she's just an amazing person. And she introduced me to the energy system of acting. And so actors use this. They use in their body, they can show, pull, come toward me. They can show, push, get away. They can show, stop, don't come closer. And they can do, allow. And these are energies, if we are aware of how these energies are working in our language, in our body, in our emotions, that's what the book is about, to help us remember this awareness of this energetic presence is with us all the time.
Beautiful. So everyone, Dr. Kanu Kogat, and they can also, I just want to say, you were talking about gratitude, to also say how grateful I am to have to know you, and then I got to know you from Dr. Sister Jenna, where we met in New York for the Brahma Kumaris and America Meditating Radio conference together, and you actually helped Dr. Sister Jenna to put in our weekend retreat program, and it was amazing, and I learned a lot, and I connected a lot, so I'm also grateful to knowing you and her. If in 1 minute, anything that we didn't go through that you really want our audience to know about how to reinvent and what's going on at this point?
I would say just keep an open mind, be resilient, realize that that it's never going to be the same, and good, we'll figure out some better and new ways to create the world we want to live in the future. So let's hold to that thought, that now that things are shaken up, we can invent something that's going to be good for all of us, not just some of us. And that would be a fantastic world to live in.
Beautiful. And all of you can find Dr. Kanu Kogat at bridges-in-orgs.com, right?
Yeah, Kanu at bridges-in-orgs.com. Or another easy one is Kanu at leadershipalchemy, all one word, .com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and thank you for sharing yourself with us.
Thank you, Fujian, for inviting me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
And everyone, hang in there. We'll be right back with the rest of the show for Inner Voice.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Are you afraid? Are you getting panic attacks? Are you getting bored and can't stand it anymore at your home? Are you finding yourself in a bind with a relationship at home? Are you wondering what all of the fuss is? And are you determined to guard yourself against all others? Or worried about how am I going to pay my rent or mortgage? In respect to the coronavirus stress, I'm offering a sliding scale online psychotherapy for anyone in California and life coaching to anyone in the world who's suffering financially. Please connect with me at Fujian.com, Fujian.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I have the privilege of having Dr. Ali Asadi, which is a great friend. He's an author, business coach, and international speaker. He specializes in helping professionals achieve success in today's highly competitive business environment. And a well-respected entrepreneur who has written over 10 books and ebooks purchased by professionals and success seekers in more than 78 countries. Today, we will be talking about his latest book, 1,000 Tips. Yes, everyone, 1,000 Tips and Tools for Small Business Success. So we're not going to get to all 1,000. So guess what you got to do? You got to buy the book. Well, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Fujian, and thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for your kind introduction.
So you have gathered 1,000 tips. So I'm sure we'll go through some of them today, but let's also be realistic at this point, which is small businesses are going through a lot through COVID and probably even post-COVID. They're going through a lot. A lot of the mom and pop businesses are really suffering because even if the doors open, their businesses might come down about 20 to 30%, which that was probably their profit anyway. So what are your thoughts about all that's going on right now?
Yeah, thank you so much for your question. Actually, the small businesses play an important role in the United States economy. But unfortunately, based on some statistics by Small Business Administration, the rate of success among small businesses is too low, especially in large cities like Los Angeles. Based on some studies, only one third of small businesses can survive more than 10 years in just normal situation. Then you can imagine during this COVID-19 disaster and after that, how small businesses are vulnerable to lose their profit, to lose their employees and get in trouble. I always said that running a small business is like taking a road trip by your car. When you're taking a road trip, your car is your business system. People who are sitting with your car are your partners or your employees. The weather is the market situation, and your competitors are other cars in the road, or those big corporations are large trucks, big trucks. So what happened after COVID-19 disaster is that road is blocked. So there are a lot of cars behind that blocked road, and they're waiting to move forward as soon as the road opens. That's why the competition is going to be much higher after this disaster. And as we know, many businesses had to lay off their employees, many businesses to cut their expenses. Many businesses are already closed and they couldn't get any customers, like beauty salons or many construction projects. And that could be an opportunity actually for many small businesses to use this time to analyze their businesses, to review themselves as business owners, and to learn new tools and techniques to improve their businesses and to be ready to go faster as soon as the road opens.
And what are the leading causes of small businesses failing, not only due to the COVID-19, because that is clear what the problem is, but as they're beginning to start up again, probably, you know, some businesses are starting up this week, some probably by 15th of May, some may by definitely by June 1st, most of the businesses and offices will be opening. Well, based on your experience and what's, you know, what you wrote on your book, overall, what would be the leading cause of small businesses failing?
To answer your question, let's talk about the main differences between small businesses and large corporations. We must know that small businesses are not a scaled down of large corporations. They're totally different. They have different structure. Mostly their structures are informal. Communications are informal. The role of business owners is very important in small businesses. That's why I always said managing a small business is a combination of business management and psychology, because the personality of the business owner, his personal or her personal goals, they're all have great impacts on his or her business. And the other thing is lack of enough resources, like time, like money. You know, in most corporations, there are specific job descriptions for different players. But in small businesses, one employee or the business owner may need to wear different hats to be able to manage the business. And also lack of enough resources. You know, usually in a small businesses, the business owner is the main risk taker. That's why whatever happens in his personal life, it may affect the business. You know, I always said the health, wealth, love are related to each other. It's like a triangle. So if the if that person has problem in his personal relationship, it may affect the business. If he's not healthy, it may affect the business. That's why small businesses are more vulnerable to problems, to disaster, than large corporations. And
as you were talking about the dynamic of a small business, I'm also privy to know a lot of business owners, small businesses, which are family business owners. And the whole family system is working. So you have the mom and pop and the children, or, you know, the in-laws and everyone kind of working as employees and or partners. And one of the issues that I've really found as a psychologist, psychotherapist with this group is, like what you said, people wear multiple hats and nobody really has a job description. They just do whatever it's needed to do. But then they also get involved in each other's business a lot, in each other's role. And somehow the concept of payment becomes a little bit loose. So all of the structures that a business might need to have in order to grow into the different type of businesses kind of gets wishy-washy. So a small business sometimes will always stay small and then go down versus it staying small and then growing and becoming mid-size or larger size. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, as we have in, human needs, Abraham Maslow, he talked about the pyramid of human needs, which starts with the basic needs like food, water, and then security. And the top of the pyramid is self-esteem. We have the same thing for small businesses. And unfortunately, most small businesses, they are struggling at the first level. That's why they couldn't be to market the leader, which is the top of the pyramid in small businesses. And regarding time management, we have always seen that the small businesses just focus on the distinguishing fire every day instead of having time for planning and development. And that's one of the issues that most small business owners face, that they don't have enough time to learn new skill. They don't have enough time to improve their businesses. And sometimes when I talk to small business owners, they tell me, oh, we have 25 years of experience. But when I look at their businesses, I see they're doing a wrong thing 25 times. So it's not just experience, it's just doing the same thing in 25 years, and that thing is not correct. And the other thing is, sometimes the economy is good. So your business, you may get enough customers and you may have enough profit, but that doesn't mean that you have a good business system. And as soon as the economy has some issues, your business issues and your business problems just show up. So that's why many small business owners just blame the economy or the external situation. But if you have a strong system, as I said, your system is your car. Just imagine that you're going to take a road trip with your car. Just imagine you have a good car. You have already checked the oil. It has enough fuel, like resources. Just imagine you're going to take that road trip by walk.
True.
So which one is more risky?
Yeah. What would be a success factor in a small business and a small company? Because you suggest in your book that a success is different than a large company and corporations than it is in a small company.
Actually, in small businesses, success is extremely subjective. So it depends the personal and professional objectives of the business owner. Sometimes in your terms, success is just having a balanced life. Sometimes you want to grow your small businesses to have a franchise, to give it as a franchise and have a lot of branches. I remember two of my clients, they had a partnership and they opened a pizza shop. One of them's goal was to just run this store and has a small shop and to have a peaceful life. And the other one's perspective and objective was to grow it as a large corporation. And it was very interesting that after 4 or 5 months, they couldn't work with each other anymore because of their different objectives. Right. So success is very subjective in small corporations, in small businesses.
Dr. Asadi, what is it that people can find in your book with 1,000 tips, especially in a time that they're renewing their business? So I'm just going to call it renewing, because even though their businesses have been there, but with the new economy, with the new ways of handling, they really have to come up with new policies, procedures, ways of handling their finances and employees, and having some responsibility for the safety of their employees and their customers. So, just on a regular basis, I'm looking at when I go back to my office to see my clients, the structure of the building does not allow 6 feet, space between clients coming in among each other. There's a lobby that you can't really put 6 feet and then going through hallways. And so there's so many different ways that we have to now redo and rethink our businesses. What is it that people can find in your book, 1,000 Tips for Businesses, that could support them in this shift to the new future?
Yeah, actually, we are going to have a new normal. So, and this new normal can affect in different areas of our personal and professional lives. So, in my book, I talked about 100 topics that every business owner needs to know, from hiring and managing employees, from managing conflict and workplace, from marketing your business, from cost management. And one of the topics is risk management, which is very important. One of the things that many companies need to do is to write down their working procedures. And based on that, they need to find out how many resources they need, or how many people, or how much resources they need to fulfill those tasks. And after that, they need to analyze it. What if one of my employees doesn't come to work? What if I didn't have those resources? What if something like COVID-19, you know, shows up again? And that's one of the most important thing that many small business owners need to do, to have a risk management plan, even put aside a specific budget for it, you know, because you never know. You know, I remember in 2003, 2004, when I was reading a personal finance book, most experts advised to have 3 to 4 months of your living expenses in your bank account. After 2008 recession, the same experts suggested to have 8 to 12 months of your living expenses. So after this COVID-19, definitely we are going to have some risk management plan for our businesses.
So one of your suggestions are to do different types of financial planning for their businesses, where they're also not just kind of doing everyday paycheck to paycheck, as we call
exactly.
it, coming in and going out, but how to actually take some percentage of it and hold it into the business account as a savings for the business account for the ups and downs that are happening.
And also they need to find other ways of making money. They need to see if they can get customers or clients through online platforms. They need to consider using technology more than before. So it's very important to find various sources of income. Do not just rely on one source of income, and also use technology in managing their employees and also getting more clients.
Customers. They have to get really creative if they were going to find new sources of income in the solid type of a business that they were doing. So, for example, for restaurants, it shows, okay, they can also do takeout, or they can create food that they could sell other places, right? So, but for example, like nail salons, you know, there's so many of the businesses that they are so in tuned with one way of doing business that based on your suggestion, they really have to get creative in how else they can offer this in order to gain some money and revenue for them.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, innovation is the only way that the small businesses can survive.
One of the questions that also came up for me was this morning or yesterday morning, where I heard that the states, they were saying that they were wanted for big companies to take on, and almost all companies, to stop having 1099 employees and to have for them to become W-2 employees and become their employees, because they were not paying state taxes or city taxes and, you know, income taxes that way. And but I also know that puts a lot of pressure because of all the labor laws on the small companies. What are your thoughts about that?
Actually, I think we are going more towards socialism, kind of, you know, and the role of governments become more clearer than before. And not only in the United States, in other countries, and definitely it adds more pressure on companies. But at the same time, what's going to be more important is human welfare and human health care and this kind of stuff. So I know some companies, definitely some large corporations or even small businesses, they get upset because of the new rule. But at the end, they become more responsible, for their employees. Because before that, I could see in many small businesses that they could hire and fire, without even caring about their employees. And I think that that's not going to be a disaster for small businesses to hire employees as a W-2. But at the same time, probably it helps them to hire with care. Because they know that it's not going to be as easy as before just to fire 1099 employees, or they need to probably in the future, they need to add extra benefits for their employees, like insurance, the just retirement planning, something. I think there's going to be a balance.
Definitely. And hopefully, I know that socialism at some places in United States, it's still a dirty word, but it seems like it seems like at one point, whatever they call it, seems like at one point we gotta take a stand for all of us a little bit to boost all of us at the same time going up versus more of an individualized benefit platform.
Like what they do in Germany, for instance, something not. As you said, probably socialism is not a proper word for it, especially in the United States, but something more balanced, not just because COVID-19 disaster proved that individualism doesn't work. We are related to each other. You cannot just ignore that, okay, I don't care if my neighbor or my colleague is sick and then it doesn't have any effect on my life. Yes, it will do, So we need to care about each other. We need to have a system which cares about all of us, not just individual people.
So just to complete our conversation, a couple of things that I heard from you as a tip that you could give to our audience for today, and then please obtain the book, 1,000 Tips, 1,000 Tips and Tools for Small Business Success. Some of the tips that you offered today was what they need to get creative businesses and look at multiple ways of creating revenue instead of the one type that they were, used to doing. And based on the revenue that they're creating, to allocate some percentage, and what type of a percentage would you offer for them to kind of leave aside as a savings for the ups and downs and times that are happening? What type of percentage would you offer?
It depends the type of business and type of their customers, So you cannot, generalize a percentage for all types of businesses. But they need to look at their revenue. They need to look at the source of income and put aside a risk management and create a risk management plan and also put a budget for disaster.
Beautiful. Yeah, like it has happened today.
And they need to have a system. I highly recommend small businesses to have a system, because that's one of the main issues with the small businesses, which leads to micromanagement. If you don't have a system, you just need to manage people one by one. But if you have a system, you don't need to do that. You just manage the system. So that's very important to have a system.
Where can they find you and where can they get the book?
They can find the book from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Store, and also the Audible version of the book is going to come out very soon. And also they can find me through my website, aasadi.com, aasadi.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for allowing time and being with us. I know you're very busy, and although all businesses have kind of shut down, but you have been really managing businesses across the United States and teaching all at the same time. So you've been busy, although
I'm trying. but thank you so much for having me.
Take good care. And for everyone who's out there listening and viewing, guys, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.